Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And we are just about at the end of July, you all. I don't
Summer's
know.
Summer's going fast.
Right. Oh. Summer's harder every year.
Yeah.
It's always a little bit hotter than last year, or it feels like
it. It feels like
it. It feels like it.
You know, we say this is like, this is a recording.
Right.
How quickly we forget.
It's very true.
It's only like 25 days over 100.
It's all right.
It's not bad.
Mild winter.
Some of us have gotten some
mild winter.
Some of us have gotten some nice rainstorms, some little precipitation.
Some haven't.
Some even just the cloudy skies is just a relief, especially when you hit after 105, like, I'm done.
Who cares?
Like, yeah, it doesn't matter anymore with the what it reads. But if you're looking for a cooler place to spend some time, well, we are gearing up to have our Master Gardener class. It's coming up
great,
here. Pretty.
Great program.
It's a wonderful program, and we hold this class once a year in the fall. So it's a great time to be able to go back and hit the school books hard. You still have some time to get your application in each
but
year.
Not much time.
Not much time. So put it on your radar. The deadline for that is August the 16th. So you want to make sure that you have your application in. We do select about 25 people to take the Master Gardener class each year. And we on purpose keep those class sizes small so that we're able to answer lots of questions, give a lot of one-on-one attention to their students, because essentially we are building a core of volunteers, right, John?
We really are. And I have to tell you, as a, I think I've been a Master Gardener, officially been a Master Gardener for 9 years, and I can remember my class like it was yesterday. And there's so many benefits, not to mention what you learn. And, you know, for 12 weeks of intense classwork, and if you've not been in class for a while, it's, you know, it's a change, but it's good for you. And then the real fun begins after that. And beyond all of that, the people that you meet become your family. They really do. And it's so I can't encourage you enough to come on down if you have. And people say, well, I don't know anything about gardening. Well, that's why we want you to come. If you would like to know more and have a passion for it, then please join us.
Well, the people I know get a lot out of it. And, you know, when you've been there for 12 or 13 weeks, you're kind of like a family.
Right.
And when it stops, everybody's like, wait a minute.
What now?
I miss this. What do I do now?
Exactly. But that's when the intern hops in, and, you know, and we'll tell you all about that when you get to that point. And that's when the real fun begins, because then you get to start digging in the dirt and doing all those good things. So
right.
Please come and join us and become a Master Gardener in El Paso.
Get your application in by August 16th. Excuse me. Classes are held each Thursday from September the 5th to November the 14th. All day classes at the Escarate Annex at our County Extension office, and the registration fee for that is $195 and includes all educational materials for the course. And once you complete the required classes, a 62-hour volunteer requirement is required to become a certified Texas Master Gardener program. So a Texas Master Gardener volunteer, excuse me. So don't miss your chance and get in on this class. You will not regret it.
And you can kind of go to the Master Gardener website and their Facebook page, and you can kind of see what the group's doing. You can see some of their activities and stuff.
Or our Facebook page,
hopefully,
too.
Hopefully get excited to go to it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Stop by and visit Master Gardeners, ask questions. One thing that's going on in your garden, John, is you have a promotion going on here with larklabel.com. To get some signage.
Yeah, Lark Label Company is a company that does a lot of professional garden labels and stuff for botanic gardens all over the country. And I was fortunate enough to get notice of a little contest they were doing for botanic gardens. And the Chihuahuan Desert Garden is a botanic garden. And they were going to give out $1,000 worth of garden signage.
Nice.
To a winning garden. So we went through the application process and made it through the first cut of screenings, and now we're among 9 gardens that are competing for the top prize. And August, basically the month of August, August 1st to August 31st, they're going to do a vote, and it's going to be kind of a popularity vote. So we're asking people that, you know, hopefully you've been to the gardens. If you haven't, you know, come to the gardens, but we would like to ask for your vote. And we'll get information to you. It'll be on the Master Gardener website and Facebook, and it'll be on the Centennial Museum Facebook and website, and hopefully KTEP here will put it on their website, as well as others. So it'll tell you how to go through the process of turning your vote in, so we get credit. So it's kind of how many people, I guess, you know,
right,
put in a vote as to whether we win the signage thing, which would be great. So we're kind of a garden. We, you know, have the plant sale that helps a little bit with some of the upkeep of the garden, but we don't really have a big stash of money. UTEP doesn't put money into the garden, so we're kind of on our own for doing that. So this would be a very, very helpful prize for the garden.
Great way to support the garden with just a click away.
Right.
That's right.
Wonderful. Sounds good. So we'll keep an eye out for that, and we'll share that with you throughout the entire month. So let's dive right into the summer heat and what is going on in our gardens. When you all go on vacation, you come back.
Yes.
You want to make sure you brace yourself when you walk into your backyard.
Exactly. But when you come back from vacation, especially if you've, and I can speak to this, when you've been in the depths of the humidity, you know, it's 104 degrees is not so bad when you're looking at 95% humidity. Give me the 105 degree heat. You know, and that's why we encourage you all the time to plant trees and provide shade and protection for yourselves and for your all of your plants. So
I know
my brother, pretty lucky.
And my brother's in Kansas, and they had 110 the other day. And, of course, they're up in the 40-50% humidity range there.
Right.
And they've been having lots of rain, so that heat moved in, you know, real quick like it has through the Midwest. And he...
Right.
It's like, man, take our dry heat anytime.
Exactly. And we seem to have the opposite problem. Sometimes, you know, if our plants are looking a little wilted, a little sad, you might want to check to make sure you're giving them enough water. That's
right.
Always going to be our key, and that's always our trees and our turf grass are going to be those guys that definitely are going to start feeling those that heat.
Well, and they speak to you. You know, I noticed that I had really neglected a fig tree, that it needed more water. And sure enough, I went out yesterday, and it's looking much better. So, but you also have to be careful, because we tend to take that hose and just drench everything. And a lot of the signs of overwatering and underwatering are the same. So, you know, and there's certain things that don't do very well in the summertime. I always think about geraniums. And I don't think there's very many people that can't appreciate, even if they don't really like it, but the beauty of geranium. But in the summertime, they're going, no. This is not my favorite time of the year, but don't give up on them. You know, keep them healthy and stick them under, you know, get them under some shade or in your patio, whatever.
Right.
But there's all sorts of things, and your plants really do talk to you. You just have to become bilingual.
Yeah.
And
well, sometimes the grass will crunch as you're walking over that. You know, got to put some more water.
Exactly. Well, and we still recommend that, you know, at least an inch a week. And of course, you get into the evaporation problems and all those kinds of things. So don't be watering in the middle of the day either.
Right.
You know, you want to water that early, and it, you know, gets warmer earlier too. So that means you can turn those sprinklers on.
Yeah,
back it up an hour or so.
I think a lot of people like to water by hand, and
it,
you know, it's kind of soothing, and you know, gives you a little mental relaxation.
Right.
But you're not actually doing a good job watering.
Right.
Right.
You know, you think you're putting a lot of water on, but if you actually go down digging the soil after you finish watering, you'll find out you didn't wet very deep.
Right.
And so those plants need a deep watering.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, of course, I talk about containers all the time. And one of the things that I've invested in, and it really does make a difference, is a water meter. And they're less than $10. And, you know, you can, you know, and it may look like it's really dry. And when you put that water meter in, it's not.
Right.
And it's, you know, you want to pay attention to what's going on around the roots, not so much in the first inch of soil. Well, sure, it's going to be dry. It's 104 degrees outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are just little tips that can make a difference. And
Yeah, and definitely when you have container gardens, as you said, you know, that outer surface of the pot itself is getting either direct heat
yes.
from the sun, so it's going to easily dry up much quicker
exactly.
than something
exactly.
in the ground, planted in the mm-hmm. ground as
but
well.
But you still want to, you know, you still want to. All year long, you want to pay careful attention, whether it's the heat or whether things, you know, later on things cool off or whatever. So, and, you know, scroll through some of those things under our Learn tab and jump on it and get some good information, even if it's a tip or two.
Right.
It really helps. Really does.
Most definitely. I know that we were talking about different kinds of irrigation methods and, you know, either soaker hose or just running out that water hose on there. And we've had conversations before, John, where drip irrigation is the best way to be able to get make sure that your plants are getting the right amount of water in the right location. But there is labor involved in that. And, yeah, your fingertips hurt after a while.
Pushing all those emitters
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
For sure.
You can never go out there and check out those plants enough to make sure right. that they're, in fact, getting that water that they need.
And you want to make sure you got the right number of emitters and things, too, so you don't want to put just one emitter out to take care of a plant because you got both sides of the plant,
sure.
you know, that,
that you're working
you're
on.
Trying to water the whole root system. And so sometimes it requires two, maybe even three mm-hmm. emitters per plant and to make sure that you wet the entire root system.
Sure.
And then as that plant grows, hopefully the roots grow are growing mm-hmm. out past it. And so you're going to again have to move your emitters further out and maybe even add another one or two.
Right.
Well, and that goes back to auditing that irrigation system too, you know. People say, yeah, I have irrigation. I put it in 18 years ago and of course never looked at it since. Well, you have to keep an eye on those things and
right.
and you know, make sure that especially in our heat, if you're using a poly pipe, it really tends to crack and
right.
and so, you know, just be cognizant of those things.
Exactly. And you know what? It's pretty easy once you get to familiarize yourself with your irrigation timer. There's usually one that has a little override button that you can just test all of your stations and it'll run a couple mm-hmm. of minutes at a time and not mess with your other programs
right.
or your other cycles. Mm-hmm. It just gives you a really great way to be able to do a quick audit when you're right. out in the garden. Sometimes we start seeing our vegetable gardens, our tomatoes are out. They are peaking, depending mm-hmm. on what kind of tomatoes you have as well. But sometimes they get to be looking a little scraggly. So don't underestimate the need to just kind of out there and trim out those mm-hmm. plants. If you need to contain, whether it's harvest all your vegetables that are out there before they mm-hmm. get too big and not really palatable or tasty, or also any kind of ornamental plants as well.
Sure.
You'd be really surprised if you just give them a little trim and deadheading some
makes
of them.
Makes a big and
bounce right back.
And the more you deadhead, the more blossom you're going to get. And I've talked about one of my favorite plants, which is Greg's Blue Mist, and it's beautiful. But you really do need to deadhead frequently with that one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and besides that, it's relaxing. It's called therapy, garden
yeah.
therapy.
Right.
Nothing better in the world.
No, there isn't.
Keep you young and happy.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of satisfaction going out there.
There is.
Shearing a plant. No, I'm just kidding. Right. I'm just kidding.
Whack them. Whack them.
Yeah. You're upset with somebody, then go out with your pruners and chop, chop, chop.
Most definitely. Well, we hope that you enjoyed listening to today's show. And if you are looking for more August gardening tips, just go ahead and visit our website at txmg.org/El Paso. We want to thank you for listening to today's show and thank Yasmin Ornelas for engineering and producing the show today. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.